there, everybody. Welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. My name is Cortland, and with me today is the guy that has a secret room full of macaws. It's Brandon. How you doing, Brandon?
Hey, Cortland. It's not that much of a secret. Everybody knows about the macaw room.
They won't shut up. They tell you all everybody's secrets.
Yeah, can't say nothing around those things.
Ugh, stupid. Would you ever own a bird, Brandon?
Probably not. I would feel too bad to have a bird that should be flying around living its best life in just some cage.
Oh.
Eating crackers, which I assume that's what birds eat. Good, I don't know.
Sometimes they eat bread. It's pretty great.
Not my bread.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We talked about this. Not my baguette. Okay. Well, Brandon, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing all right.
That's good.
It's another week.
I know. I was trying to think about it last night. I was like, did anything cool happen this week? Not really. Let me think here. Shit, I thought I had something. I don't know what it was. Oh, I know what has happened, Brandon. We updated all the tiers on Patreon.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
Yeah, I put out your artwork and everything, and everybody had really great things to say about it.
I'm
included. I think they look really wonderful. We got, you know, the Beth tier is still there because you can't get rid of Beth. It's impossible.
Oh, hell no. We tried, but she wouldn't let us.
We still got the goths, and that's just because goth is hilarious. So that's still there.
Yeah, I think if you distill Are You Afraid of the Dark down to two things, it's Beth and goth. That's what everyone remembers.
Yeah, I love the fact that there's like 7 seasons plus 3 reboots, and we're like, yep, season 1, Beth and Goth, boom, done.
They knew what they were doing then.
The Carlsville tier looks great as well, and then of course you got your boy R.L. Stine warming it up, and then we got our bestie the Crypt Keeper. I think they're perfect, and I love them. I hope you guys check them out. patreon.com/privateisland if you'd like to become a patron. This is all just promotional stuff for the first time ever.
Yeah, and even if you don't want to become a patron, just check out that art anyway, because it's cool.
Yeah, I posted it on like everything, so you can go ahead and take a gander. But yeah, I love that you did that artwork. I think it looks great, and I can't wait to see what you pull out of your hat next week. Wait, what?
What?
I don't know, Brandon. I guess I'm really tired. You know how I get silly when I'm tired.
Yeah, I do.
Which is weird, because I got like 8 hours of sleep last night for the first time in forever, but
I don't know. 8's not 11, though. You really need 11 hours of sleep before you really start to feel rested.
I can't remember the last time I had 11 hours of sleep. That's blasphemy.
Maybe as a baby?
Yeah, I think probably when I was a baby. Yeah. Gosh, I don't know, Brandon. Do you want to just get into the episode? We got kind of a lot to talk about this week.
Yeah. This is an episode to talk about.
This is something. It's a little something something. A little bit of a little bit silly. A little silly episode called, what's it called?
For crying out loud, Cortland.
Yeah, for crying out loud, Brandon. You want to talk about
how it? Could you forget?
Because I'm just stupid. Well, I got to know, Brandon, what did you think of For Crying Out Loud?
It's not one of the best ones.
It sure is one of the ones, though, right?
It occupies a similar kind of space in this series as that cat, he's real gone, or whatever that one's called.
Yeah,
similar vibes. Yes.
It's super silly, yeah.
It's a silly episode, kind of cartoonish, like it's a live-action cartoon.
Yeah, it is.
But I didn't hate it, and it's got some cool people in it.
It does. I like the cast a lot, and then we also have Iggy Pop, who just kind of dances awkwardly on
He's
stage
there.
And stuff.
they got him in the show, and then...
And they used every essence of Iggy Pop for this 30-minute episode. I like the, so I mean, I'm going to spoil some things here. I like the parts where they're like, shit, we haven't seen Iggy Pop in a while. Let's go see what he's doing for a minute.
Yep, he's still spinning in a circle.
Yep,
back
he's
to
still
the action.
In this episode. but yeah, we got some really great people in this one. Katie Sagal and Sam Kinison and the guy that plays the main character, who I don't remember his name offhand, but he gives
but
great
he's in
faces.
A lot of stuff. Yeah, perfect for a cartoon.
Right, right. Most of the things that I like is just watching him make faces, because I think he's great. But yeah, I agree with you, Brandon. It's not my favorite episode, and I think there's things to enjoy about it. They definitely went with the camp and went with the silliness, and, you know, I like that stuff. It's not quite as fun and silly as, like, Collection Completed to me, but that's okay.
No.
I'm relishing the day when we get another Collection Completed, Brandon.
Hey, they could just give us Collection Completed again, and I'd watch that.
I know, right? The sequel to Collection Completed is just Anita, well, she's
just
probably in prison.
Animatronic, stuffed animals with lights in their eyes.
Yeah, beep booping and everything. It'd be great. Beep
booping.
Well, Brandon, you want to just get into this episode?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay. Our episode begins with a guitar that gets strummed by our best buddy, the Crypt Keeper. And the camera pans up and we see he's in a big blonde wig. And he chuckles. He says, "Always wanted to play the guitar, but I never could quite master the fingering." And he raises up a severed human finger. He's got the jokes, man.
Classic Crypt Keeper. What's with the blonde wig, Cortland?
I assume it's like imitating 80s hair bands, right?
Yeah, I thought that was the gist, but like I was wondering if he was meant to be impersonating anyone in particular.
I don't know enough about 80s hair bands to know who he's imitating, but it's definitely somebody, right? I don't know. Yeah, somebody will tell probably. Me. Somebody will tell me. I know they will. They'll be like, it was obviously Def Leppard, or I don't know. Look, my 80s music knowledge. I love the 80s. I love the 80s music. I love 80s pop.
I love the 80s on VH1.
Oh, man. We used to sit and watch those for hours. They need to bring that back for the 6th, 7th time? I'll take it.
Something like that. They kept that train running a long time.
Oh, my gosh. Right? They had I Love the 80s, and then they were like, that was cool. Let's do it again a week later and call it I Love the 80s, like 3D, right?
Yeah. There were Strikes Back, then 3D.
They can do it again and again. And again. I'm sure they have, too. We just don't know. Then the Crypt Keeper says that he won't be a rock star. He'll just settle for being a shock star. He looks over at a table with some rats and shit on it, and he throws that finger over there, and they immediately grab it and start nibbling on it. They're his groupies. Anyway, tonight's little riff is ripe with sex, death, and rock and roll. Spoilers, there's no sex. Now that's entertainment. You'll meet a putrefied promoter of pop with an ear for a hit. I don't want to kill it for you. Let's just say we come into the story just when his career is getting real hot. And he laughs, and we look at the picture for this episode, which is Katie Sagal. It's very clearly Katie Sagal. And she's counting money in the foreground. And there's this bald dude behind her, and he's about to bash her over the head with a guitar. And there's like a concert going on in the background of that. I think it looks pretty good.
This cover is pretty much like a freeze frame later in the episode.
Oh my god, right?
Spoilers. Did a very good job.
Cryptkeeper always spoilers things. I love it. Remember that one time for Three's a Company or whatever that he spoiled the entire episode? That was great.
Yeah, he don't give a shit.
This fades us into the episode where we're looking at an electric chair. I didn't think we were going here first, but we do. A priest and two guards are walking down a hallway when suddenly a man screams, "Please, hurry up!" And he busts through them, and some cartoonish music starts playing as the man jumps into the chair and starts strapping himself in. Tales from the Crypt sure loves the electric chair, I have to say.
Yeah, electric chairs and gold diggers are like the top things in the show.
It's like the creme de la creme. I'll take skim milk. Am I right, Brandon? One of the guards makes a comment asking if the priest has ever seen a man in such a hurry to die. And the guard smiles, because that seems appropriate. With the dude, we see him strap himself all the way in, attaching the waist belt and one of the hand belts. And then the guards come over to assist him with the rest as he laughs to himself, saying, "Oh, you always got something to say, don't ya? Well, you keep it up, big mouth, and you'll get yours." And the headpiece gets placed on as he says,
"Ooh, do ya? Huh? I got a question for you. How do you like your brains, fried or over easy?"
And he laughs a bunch more. Then he screams to the guards to, "Come on! Let's go, god damn it! Hurry it up and shoot me with the juice! Fry me!"
Yeah, so this guy's an absolute psycho. Like, right from the top.
And then Brandon, he fucking dies. He's dead now. He got shocked.
The end.
The camera closes up on his face and then moves over to his little ear as it steams, and we fade inside to his ear.
It's a weird transition.
Yeah, this man has really small ears, Brandon. Really small ears.
Yeah. He does.
That then fades us sometime earlier, where we hear a muffled voice, and the man who just got electrocuted is there, and he says, there it is again. And we see there's a doctor checking out his hearing. The doc asks how long he's been hearing this and calls him Mr. Slash. And our main character, whose name is actually Marty Slash, which is such a great name, tells the doctor he's been hearing it for a few weeks now, but it's recently gotten louder. The doc tries to troubleshoot some things, asking if the sounds are ringing or buzzing, which they aren't. So he asks what it sounds like. And Slash puts his hand over his mouth and...
What?
Nothing. Don't worry about it. The doc just stares at him, though, because he's like, what the fuck are you doing? Slash here gives a lot of great movement with his eyes and his eyebrows. He is an eyebrow actor to the best degree in my eyes. His eyes are great. Like, he'll just stop and like stare at people, and it's so good.
He's expressive as hell.
Mm-hmm. He tells the doc, look, you're the expert. You tell me what's going on here. And the doc tells him that he doesn't have anything in his ears, but Slash tells him, dude, I can hear something in there. So Doc tells him it's an aberration from repeated exposure to high decibels. You need to use earplugs in the workplace, eardrops each night, each ear, 2 drops. Put a little salve on this cotton swab here.
Gently coax it into the ear.
This guy's very monotone and boring.
Gently coax it!
He hands Slash a baggie of stuff, and he's all, wait, this is all I get for a fucking $200 visit? Doc offers up some advice to telling him, if he wants to keep the little hearing that he's got left, he should get out of the rock and roll business. So Slash walks to the door, getting all sassy, saying, would tonight be soon enough, Doc?
Yes. Do that. That's what he's saying. That's exactly what he was suggesting.
Well, you're in for a treat, Brandon, because this is his last night. Spoilers. With some loud rock music, we cut over to a sign saying that Marty Slash is presenting Save the Amazon benefit concert starring Iggy Pop.
Whoa. Is everybody doing the rainforest in there?
No, but everybody's doing the leather weasel, because that's also what it says. I just want to let you know, Brandon, when I did my notes here, I actually put Iggle Pop.
All right, let's keep that going.
Yeah. We transport inside to see Iggy Pop just singing and dancing on stage, as I assume Iggy Pop does.
That's probably something he does.
Yeah.
How familiar are you with Iggy Pop, Cortlin?
Gosh, I know the name. Don't know anything else about Iggy Pop.
That's pretty much where I'm at. I've heard the name, like, you know, all my life, but...
Mm-hmm. I don't know a single thing
And
about
I know
him.
He doesn't seem to like wearing shirts.
No, yeah, well, I think he's
Every
got a shirt on
I've
now,
Every picture I've seen
but...
of him, he's shirtless.
Later on in the episode, he is also shirtless, so... Mm. If this episode is any indication as to the talents of Iggy Pop, he's not a great dancer. Iggy Pop, if you're listening in, I'm
sorry. They probably told him to tone it down. They were like, we don't want you to take the focus off of Katie Sagal, so...
And
he bring down the energy a little bit, Iggy.
There's a crowd that's around him, though, and they just love this shit. We look over at Marty Slash, who's kind of chilling there, and smiles at a man dressed as, I don't know, like a stereotypical Amazon person?
I guess, yeah.
Sure. Oh.
It's a caricature.
Iggy on stage finishes his song and tells everyone to shut the fuck up. In fact, he says fuck about a million times in this scene.
He does.
It's pretty much every other word. I'm just going to give you the gist of it because it would take me forever to say all of them. Basically, he introduces Marty to the stage and they hug. And Marty grabs the mic and thanks Iggy for being in this episode and then talks to the crowd saying, you know, I think the credit for all this belongs to all those beautiful people.
Aww.
They're the ones that made my dreams a reality. Everyone cheers, except for Katie Sagal in a wig, who's in
Katie Sagal dressed up like Elvira Halloween costume.
Yeah, she's got this like big black wig on. Marty then welcomes Chief Kabobi, I don't know, to the stage. And that man from a moment ago walks over to stand next to Marty as the crowd cheers. On stage, Slash tells him to tell his brave and beautiful Amazonian people that they're giving them a check for $1 million. And they hand him over like a big fake $1 million check.
Yeah, publisher's clearinghouse to the Amazon.
Katie Sagal smiles a bunch, and Iggy gets back to oddly dancing on the stage.
That's what he does best.
It reminds me a
That's
little
bit. That's why you hire Iggy Pop.
Yeah, he gets down and flails his arms wildly like they're broken. It's great. It reminds me of Elaine a little bit from Seinfeld dancing.
Oh, that's great.
I love it. I don't. I love it when Elaine does it, because Elaine's my favorite character. Backstage, Chief Kabobi asks Slash if he did a good job, and Mario's all, yeah, it was great, but shut up, and let's leave this between you and me. I mean, the cost of flying a real person from the Amazon would be crazy. And he pushes the dude out the door, and we watch Iggy sing some more because they're paying for this man to be in this episode. We pan around the crowd and see Slash is there, and he steps up to some stairs to go into his office. He closes the curtains to his windows that are overlooking the stage, and he says, this money's going to go where it's needed, all right. The Marty Slash Retirement Fund. And he snaps his fingers with a little, yeah. And he runs over, he strums a guitar for a quarter of a second, and then opens up a secret compartment and an Alice Cooper poster, revealing a whole bunch of money. And he goes to touch it when a voice calls out,
"Don't touch that money!"
Marty slams the vault, yelling, "Who's there?" And the voice of Sam Kinison tells him, "There's no one there, Marty, just me." And Marty asks who "just me" is, and the voice says, "Your conscience." And I can't spell conscience at all, Brandon. That's one of those words. I don't know how to spell that one.
I'm sure you had to put it in a lot.
I tried not to, but... Marty's all, "Huh? I don't have one of those." And the voice tells him, "Oh, yeah? Then what am I? Talk radio?" Good one, Sam Kinison. Marty stares for a second, saying, "Okay, it's a joke. Come out of here." And he opens up a closet door, but the voice is all, "Nope, I'm in your head. And I've been trying to get through to you for 38 years. Boy, you let a kid get away with gluing a dog's eyes closed. And the next thing you know, he's stealing charity money. What the fuck are you up to, Marty Slash? What the hell is that?"
Yeah, rewind. Let's go back to that.
Nope. They just go with it. Apparently Marty Slash glues dog's eyes closed when he's a kid. Serial killer shit right there, Brandon.
Yeah.
Slash starts putting his fingers in his ears and the voice gets a bit muffled, but it still talks about not stealing the money. So Slash grabs a briefcase saying he's tired and nervous, a little bit jangled. He's never had his hands on this much money before though, Brandon. He starts putting that money from the vault into the briefcase and the voice tells him, "Look, money aside, this is a felony. We're talking about 45 years in prison." Slash tells himself it's an aberration, just like the doctor said it was, and stuffs more money in his briefcase. The voice doesn't let up, though, Brandon, because he talks about, like, how, you know, you don't want to end up in prison and all that.
Yeah, doesn't sound great.
He says, "Look, something like this takes brains, and looking in here, well, you're going to get caught."
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, Sam Kinison, quit being such an asshole.
I'll be honest, Cortland, I didn't know that this was Sam Kinison for a long time. I knew he was in this episode, but I was like, where is Sam Kinison? I don't hear anyone screaming.
He takes a while to ramp up to the screaming, Brandon. Once he does, but I know what
takes
you
a while to turn into Sam Kinison. But then I was like, oh, of course, that's him.
The second he goes, ow, ow, like that, you're like, oh, there he is.
I was waiting for him to show up this whole episode.
Oh, Sam Kinison, God bless your soul.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Marty slams a briefcase closed, yelling, "Well, we'll see about that." And the voice tells him that he's thrown his life away. And Marty's all, "What life?" He opens up the curtains and looks out on the stage again with a sigh, saying, "You mean being a goddamn gopher for a bunch of drooling morons just because they can play three chords on a guitar?"
"Marty, these groupies are too ugly, Marty. Oh, Marty! This chicken isn't extra crispy enough, Marty. Marty, we told you we don't like red ones in the M&M bowl, Marty!"
For 12 years, it's been Marty this and Marty that, and I got nothing to show for it. That is, until now. And he smacks the top of his briefcase, which warps us to a police officer walking out of his car. And he walks up to a worker asking where Slash is.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. The worst possible time. This cuts us back over to Iggy, who needs more screen time. And also, he's shirtless now, singing on stage.
Yeah, doing his thing.
Iggy just... You're right. He loves being shirtless. I don't know. He's so sexy, Brandon, right? Oh, my God.
I mean, yeah, with that physique that kind of looks like the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah. We look over at a woman in the crowd who's showing her boobies off for a second. Like, literally right. A second, if that. She's like, "Woo, Iggy Pop!" Before we go back over to Marty. His conscience tries telling him to put the money down and that it feels like there's something bad about to happen. But he ignores that and goes to open up the door, but there's a knock on it first. And it startles him. And he sets the briefcase down, and the voice tells him, "Okay, so it was a little premature. We both know that we've had that problem from time to time." Oh, good one. And there's a little drum
snare.
And
there's a literal rim shot.
There's a drum snare. Yeah, I love it. But I think that's the only one, right?
Pretty sure. I think so, yeah.
Marty tells him to shut up as the knocking continues. And he goes to open up the door and sees there's a woman on the other side. It's Katie Seagal, who's there to see Marty, Brandon. She waltzes in saying, "He's the man who saved the Amazon, right?" Marty tells her, "Yeah, but I wasn't expecting them to send me one of their women." Because Katie Seagal is much taller than this man.
Katie Seagal is much taller than most men.
That's true. Katie Seagal is...
She's Katie Seagal.
Brandon, you little bastard.
I fucking had to.
You were such a good jokester. Out of all the celebrities I could meet, Katie Seagal is definitely one of them that I would love to.
Yeah?
She was supposed to be at one of these Comic-Cons that were nearby.
No shit.
I was really excited, and then she backed out on it, so I didn't get to meet her.
That sucks.
I know. She just seems like such a wonderful person. I gotta say, I haven't even watched Married with Children, and I love her. I don't know.
I mean, Futurama's enough. And Smart House, come on.
Smart House girl? She got to not see the dad from Smart House with the shirt off. So, unless she's seen his episode. I don't know.
She might have watched it. Been like, what is this show about? Oh, it's licking back cracks? This is weird.
I'll be on it. She sighs, saying, no one sent me Marty. I thought Marty Slash has done so much, and there must be something I can do to lighten his load. She gets all close to him and rubs up to him, saying, and he says, well, come to think of it, there might be something. And then she licks his ear.
His tiny little ear.
Yeah, his conscience tells him that this one's trouble, Marty. Katie's skull walks over and takes a seat on the couch and tells Marty to come over and tell her all about it. And the voice inside Marty's head asks if he isn't even a little suspicious about all this, and why would a beautiful woman want to do anything with an ugly little toad like him? He slaps his ear in response and sits down next to Katie's skull. And Katie gets excited by that ear slapping, saying, oh, you like to play rough, huh? And she slaps both of his ears, to which Marty is just like, ow.
Yeah. Don't do that.
That hurt. And it sounds like it hurt. That clap is... I could just imagine it bursting like eardrums.
She's a mighty woman.
Yeah. She's got superpowers. It's clapping people's ears. The voice inside Marty's head also apparently got hurt by that, so it's interesting to know that he got hurt by a clap. Marty suggests that they skip the foreplay and get right into it. Katie would like nothing better. So she pulls out a tiny little spiky finger condom thing, and... the conscience laughs at him, saying,
doesn't seem to have a very high opinion of you, Marty.
Marty looks at it, saying, hey, I hope that's not for me. Katie tells him, oh, no, it's for me. I'm not good at doing a Katie Seagal voice now. I'm thinking about it, Brandon. She has a very unique voice. She puts that little finger thingy on and rubs it across his lips. And Marty tells her, okay, whatever. Look, I don't have a lot of time. Katie tells him, oh, well, there's a small matter here first. Marty's all, oh, man, you're a hooker. Katie tells him, nah, dog, I'm a banker. Marty's all, say, what? And she tells him she's his personal banker. And she takes off that wig that she's been wearing and puts on some glasses, saying, next in line, please.
She pulls a reverse she's all that.
I mean, look, I think Katie looks wonderful naturally. So
how do you not recognize her, though?
Dude, look, if Katie Seagal was in a crowd and with a wig on, I'd still be like, hey, you're Katie Seagal, can I have an autograph?
And she would be like, of course.
Do you know who I am? I'm Pat from Smart House. Of course I'll give you an autograph. She says, oh, good morning, Mr. Slash. Will you be needing a receipt today? We have a wonderful rate in our six-month T-bill. Marty looks over and his eyes get big as he recognizes her as Miss Kilbasa, his banker.
Miss Kilbasa. That's not a fucking name.
No, but I do love kielbasas, Brandon.
Yeah, everyone does.
He says, she looks a little different. The Miss Kilbasa laughs and stands up saying, well, they don't exactly encourage us to dress this way at work. And she lights a cigarette and tells him, you never did notice me, did you, Marty? Well, I noticed you. I noticed how you withdrew all the Save the Amazon money today in cash. Marty jumps up as his conscience tells him, don't say I didn't warn you. And Katie walks over to the window and looks out to the stage saying, won't those bleeding hearts be surprised when their check for $1 million bounces tomorrow morning? And we see Marty scratch his beard and walk over to the door. And Kilbasa asks where he's running away to. He's all, nowhere. So Kilbasa grabs his plane tickets because they're just like in his front pocket and reads them.
Yeah. He's dumb.
He was trying to run away to Portugal, Brandon.
That's where you go.
She thinks that's a pretty good choice since the money is holding up real well against the dollar. Then she asks where the money's at. And Marty looks over at the briefcase for a brief moment, and she sees that and says, oh, it's in here. And then she laughs. Sign. She laughs her signature Katie Seagal laugh, Brandon. She's got a great laugh. I love it.
A one-on-one.
What?
She's Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, right. Okay. Hey, Hey there, everybody. Cortland here, your good buddy and your favorite ventriloquist. Thank you so much for joining us today, whether this is your first episode or you've listened to everything that we've got. We're just so thankful for you spending some time with us. First, I want to say thanks to everyone that came to our Discord server for our live watch-along party of The Pagemaster. It was a ton of fun, and I cannot wait to get another one planned soon. If you're looking to unlock a bunch of bonus content on our Patreon, like watch-along parties, bonus episodes, bloopers, early release episodes, and so much more, check us out at patreon.com/privateisland. We have plenty of tiers with unique rewards. Everything made on Patreon goes right back into the show to help us make the best podcast that we can make. I'd like to take a moment to thank our current patrons, the Beths, Venice Witch, Tristan, Redemption, Lyle, Eddie, Ray, and Rad Magical, the Goths, Stephen, Matt, Lindsay, Aaron, Brittany, Rachel, Sid, Preston, and Corey, the Citizens of Carlsville, Sarah, Ryan, Mr. Normal, Matt, Keith, Faith, Christy, Angela, and Meredith, and you boys and girls, Kathy, Farron, Bryce, and Brian. Thank you for your support, everybody. Brandon and I truly appreciate it. We've been upping our social media game and making all new unique videos, reels, shorts, and TikToks, so I hope you check them out and give us a follow. We're at Up All Night Podcast on Instagram, at UAN Pod on Twitter, at Private Island Presents on TikTok, and at Up All Night HA Podcast on YouTube. Stop by our Instagram on Wednesday night, starting about 7:30 p.m. Eastern, to watch full-length episodes of all the shows that we cover on the podcast. On top of that, you can hang out with me as I play some video games on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/PrivateIslandC. I've got unique voice lines and clips from shows for you to play around with and enjoy. I'd like to take a moment to thank the Benevolent Badger for their work on the music for our show, aside from this theme dating start from Undertale, composed by Toby Fox. I'd also like to thank Brandon for his work on the artwork. Thanks again for listening in. For now, I'll let you get back to the episode, and I will talk with you next week. Bye, everybody. She sits down at Marty's desk, and Marty asks what she wants. Well, she wants half of the money. So Marty laughs aloud a bunch at this and yells, "Are you fucking nuts? I'm the one that stuck my neck out and planned this whole damn thing." She points her finger at him, saying, "And I was the one that let you get away with it. I could have blown the whistle at the bank. And don't forget, Marty, I can still blow the whistle on you now." So Marty lifts his hands up, saying, "Oh, this is what I get for being an entrepreneur, huh?" And the voice in his mind tells him to tell her to go to hell and that it's not too late to do the right thing. Marty tells her he wants to do the right thing. "You're a banker, right? We'll count out your half." And he smiles. And the voice inside him tells him he's a dumbass. Katie Seagal gets the count, and Marty draws the curtains closed again, saying, "Well, $500,000 is better than nothing. It's more than I would have ever gotten if I stayed at this lousy business." And he stops for a second to maniacally stare at Katie Seagal. And, it's really great. Like, he just stops and just stares at her, like, with this wicked smile on his face. He does a great job.
Yeah.
He moseys his way over to a guitar, saying, "Well, I got memories and this sweet axe." And his conscience is all, "No, I know what you're thinking. Don't do it, Marty. Not that." Marty hugs the guitar, asking, "Hey, you know who gave me this little guitar?" And Kielbasa is all,
"No, who?"
Marty raises it above his head, yelling,
"Pete Townsend!"
And he slams that guitar over Katie Skull's dome, as we see Iggy Pop on stage doing the same with his microphone. And we look back, and Katie Skull is dead on the table with the money scattered everywhere.
The way he says Pete Townsend and the way he sets that up, it makes it seem like it's going to be a pun. Mm-hmm. But it's not. It's Pete not. Townsend, like, that's not a pun. It's kind of a shame that his character's name is Slash, because that would have been way funnier.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
"You know who gave me this guitar? Slash!" And then... Slash.
You should have wrote for Tales from the Crypt when you were 1 year old.
I don't know. Well, I wasted my life.
What were you doing, Brandon? God.
I was probably writing for...
learning how to walk and all that shit. God damn
you, different show.
You were busy writing for Full House.
I wish. I was writing Michelle's lines in 1990. Oh, write what you know, they say.
And you do know Michelle. Yep.
You got it, dude.
You know, you're like kind of the middle child, but you'd still be the Michelle, you know? You wouldn't be the Stephanie.
No, I got major Michelle vibes.
Mm-hmm. Especially the part where there's actually two people controlling your body. That's how twins work, right?
You take turns existing.
I can't believe Katie Skull. It's already dead.
Yeah, they wasted Iggy. They wasted Katie.
But we do have... hold on, let me look at IMDb for this man's name. Lee Arenberg. Not Katie Skull, though, so who cares? Marty runs over to the closet and pulls out a big drum container and takes the drum out. At the concert, we see the police officer walking aside because he's the slowest police officer in the world.
Yeah, it's taken him 20 minutes
to mosey to mount his way. This
flight of stairs.
Yeah. We get a fun little shot of the silhouette of Marty in the curtains, like above the concert, and he's hauling Katie Sagati. Oop. And he's. Just combine those words. And he's hauling Katie Sagal's body and plops it into the drum container. She really doesn't fit that well because she's all legs and arms. So we watch Marty just straight up stuff her into there as the voice in his head tells them to call the police. Marty then runs over to the bloody money on the floor as the voice tells him to try for a temporary insanity plea. Marty's all, I'm not listening to you. And then there's a knock on the door, and the conscience is all, you know, you never listen to me. Maybe I'll just have to speak up! And he starts yelling like only Sam Kinison can do.
Oh, that's Sam Kinison.
Oh! Oh! That's all, that's all he does.
And it's great.
Marty hates that shit and starts yelling too, and he slowly picks up a guitar as the cop and the stagehand burst into the room. And Marty pretends to play the guitar and singing a bunch, and he sucks at it. The stagehand is all, he's just singing. Jeez, Marty. It sounds like you were killing somebody in here.
You heard that over Iggy Pop? Like, man, that show must be pretty lame.
I mean, we've seen what is on stage right now. And we'll see more later, I promise.
That's fair.
Marty nervously laughs about that and then asks, what's all the hubba? The cop tells him, we've had a bunch of complaints about the noise levels here tonight, so turn this shit down or I'm hauling your ass to jail. Marty laughs saying, officer, please, please, please. I really had no idea that things had gotten this out of hand. You see, I've just, and the voice in his head tells him, killed my banker. And Marty says out loud, killed my banker. I killed my hearing working in this place. That's why I gotta wear these now. Doctor's orders. And he stuffs some earplugs into his ears. He picks up the phone and says, Spud? Yeah, it's Marty. I've had some complaints about the noise. Can you turn it down? And we look over to the concert, where a kid is controlling the audio, and he turns it down a bit.
Yeah, let's just quiet Iggy Pop down a bit.
Yeah, can you just have Iggy Pop shut up a little bit?
Just mute him, actually.
Shut up.
Just put on some Cyndi Lauper instead.
Oh, dude, I love Cyndi Lauper. In the office, Marty slams the phone down, jumps up, and smiles, asking if there's anything else he can do for them. Marty turns his head, and the earplug pops out and shoots across the room and hits the cop. And then lands on the drum case that has Katie Skull's body in it.
Yeah, I don't know how the hell that happens. Was Sam Kinison inside of his ear just pushing that out?
I think so.
I think Sam Kinison is a little ear goblin who's living in his ear.
Yeah, and he didn't like being quieted? I don't know. The officer turns around with a scowl and Marty apologizes, saying that he was aiming for the wastebasket. Then the officer looks down at the drum case and Marty's inner voice is all, he's looking at the shit. He knows. And the cop reads that the case is the property of Donnie Osmond. And the stagehand says, oh, his tour moved to Alaska months ago. And the cop wonders aloud if Donnie is missing his drum case. And the stagehand is all, yeah, probably. Marty suggests that they get it out of here. And the stagehand struggles to remove it from the room. The cop tells Marty that he really likes Donnie Osmond.
Of course he does.
Who's Donnie Osmond?
Well, the only thing I know him from is he's the one who sings, let's get down to business. Oh. But like Donnie and Marie, they have a whole thing. I don't know anything about that.
Okay. I had to look up Mr. Townsend too, so I'm just terrible at these things. I'm bad. I love Donnie Osmond now too. Thanks for that wonderful song from Mulan. Donnie Osmond, your national treasure.
It's the best Disney song.
It's really good. Marty ushers the cop out of the room saying, remind me and I'll get you an autographed picture. The voice in his head tells him not to let the cop go and he missed his chance. Then he just screams a whole bunch and Marty collapses to the ground in pain. This next bit, Brandon. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Marty grabs the kit that your doctor gave him from earlier saying, I'm getting mighty sick of you. And then Marty squirts a bunch of liquid right into his ears. And the voice gets all watery as it screams and then says, hey, did you read the label? That stuff's 80% alcohol. Let's party! We see Marty lube up a cotton swab with some black toothpaste-looking shit, and he pushes them right into his ears and wiggles them around.
So gross.
As the voice yells that he was only supposed to use a little bit. Yeah, like, And thankfully it's cut, so like you don't actually see him insert them into his ears, because I can't handle that shit.
Yeah, might as well be a Cronenberg movie at this point.
This is all cut with Marty smashing those swabs into his ears with such force that they break apart, and it's just so weird. After that doesn't work, the voice is all, uh-oh, you're out of swabs. What are you going to use now, Marty? And we see Marty look over at a very sharp pencil. Voice is all, ooh, nice sharp pencil, huh? Great idea. Jab it down deep down inside your brain to get to me.
Please don't.
Marty's about to do that when he thinks, wait, why should I be fucking with you when I got a plane to catch? Whew, thanks, Marty. I don't want to see you jab a pencil in your ear. That's the worst.
Yeah.
We warp outside his office where Marty steps outside and he looks like shit.
That's the nice way to put it, yeah.
He's got big circles under his eyes and he is a sweaty mess.
Yeah, his veins look like they're gonna pop right out of his skull.
Oh my gosh, right? He has one that's like right on his dome that is so big, and I'm just like, dude, you're gonna give yourself an aneurysm working this.
Seriously. Hey,
he's still working, so like he didn't have an aneurysm. His shoulders are hunched up and he looks over to see a limo seemingly waiting for him. And he says out loud, all he's got to do is walk down these stairs and right through that door and get into the limo.
Easy peasy.
The voice yells he's never going to make it. Marty yells, who's going to stop me? And the voice tells him,
I am, motherfucker! Since you're not going to confess, I guess I'll have to do it for you. Watch this!
A woman says hi to Marty, and the voice says, hey girl, I killed my banker upstairs. And the woman just looks at Marty with disgust. And the voice is all, you see that face? She heard me for sure. Marty swears some more as he slowly walks up by some other girls who look at Marty like he's crazy. And the voice is talking about them seeing brain splattered all over money and stuff. And then it yells that they hear him, Marty, and he's all, no, no, you don't. So the voice tells him, okay, well, let's see what happens when you walk by him. And we look and see that the cop is still there because he is like the worst at his job.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck he's doing. He took 4 days to get up those stairs. And then when he got up there, even though there should be blood all over the place, he's like, Donny Osmond, that's cool. And then he just goes and hangs out and listens to Iggy Pop.
I mean, I guess I can't blame him.
I can.
It's not every day that you see Iggy Pop waving on stage, right? Like a wild flailing.
It's not every day you see Iggy Pop without a shirt on.
Marty slowly shuffles over to the bathroom and he opens it up. Inside, he lets out a long breath and goes over to the stall whistling as there's a couple other dudes in there. And the voice yells out, hey, monkey dick, I killed my banker. And the guy at the stall next to him looks at Marty and runs out of the room. The next guy does the same. And then there's a girl in there and she too rushes out of the room after looking at Marty. They make a joke about like drag queens or something. Marty then comes to the conclusion that it's just not possible that these other people are able to hear the voices in Marty's head. The voice is all, well, why is everyone looking at you? Open the door and I'll tell everyone that you're a murderer. Marty tells the voice, just try. The music's so loud, no one's going to be able to hear you. In response, Sam Kinison screams.
Yeah, don't ever challenge Sam Kinison to be heard.
Nope.
Sam Kinison, I don't think anybody can hear you. Next thing you know, every window within 50 miles shattered.
Marty runs out of the bathroom yelling, then I'll just have to turn the music up a little louder. And he runs over to Spud and tells him to turn this shit up. Spud doesn't do that for 5 seconds, so Marty does it himself. And outside, the cop is finally about to leave, but he hears that the music has gotten turned up and he says, that little son of a bitch.
Oh no, he didn't.
Exactly. Inside, the crowd is loving this shit and Marty can't hear the voice anymore, so he dances around a little. And we look at Iggy Pop on stage again because he's still in this episode. And he's singing about Marty.
They still have him for another couple of minutes.
Marty makes his way to the big speaker on the stage, and he's slamming his head into it, taunting the voice in his mind, as Iggy Pop sings over and over again that Marty is 5'1". The cop makes his way to the controls for the music and turns that crap totally off now as Sam Kinison yells, I killed my banker! And Marty's head goes right through the speaker. That echoes a bit, and the entire crowd just stares at Marty. And the voice tells him, that did it, Marty. They all know you killed her now. Marty yells, what are you looking at me for? I didn't mean to kill my banker. All I wanted to do was steal my Amazon money. It's okay. It's all right here. And he opens up his suitcase and starts flinging that money into the crowd. And the cop steps up and doesn't like what he's hearing, as Marty tells the crowd that the banker wanted half of it. And he couldn't just let her do that. I smashed her in the head with a guitar. You can understand that, can't you?
Yeah, that's fair.
The voice in his mind says, good, Marty. That was a lovely confession. And the camera pans a little over, like to the other side of Marty's face, to his right side, which has suspiciously not been shown to us since he stuffed those swabs in his ears. And it turns out there's a jutting cotton swab in there, Brandon.
Yeah, sticking like a foot out of his head.
It's disgusting. Marty tugs it out of his ear with a disgusting blood splurt as the voice is all, "Hey, Marty, something just occurred to me. Do you think that's what everyone was staring at the whole time and they could never actually cure me? Oh, Marty, that would mean if you just kept your mouth shut, you could have gotten away with it after all."
Sam Kinison, you son of a bitch.
The camera zooms into Marty's sweaty face and eyes as he comes to that simple conclusion.
He wouldn't have gotten away with it, though. Like, come on.
I mean, Katie's called.
It was the clumsiest murder ever.
Yeah, he wouldn't have gotten very far, I don't think. We fade to Marty in a prison cell where the voice is just going on and on and on about jokes and bugging Marty, just driving him insane. It says it's been 2 years, and is this really how they want to spend their last moments together? And the camera slowly pans out, and we see that Marty's got a spread of his final meal in front of him. He's got lobster, a beer, some other stuff. I don't really know what it is. Maybe steak. Who knows? Up walks those two guards and the priest from the start of the episode, and they ask Slash if he's going to eat his last meal. And it turns out, Marty's deaf now. So the only thing he can hear is his inner voice, who goes over the Ten Commandments and just constantly bugs him. One of the guards gets Marty's attention by throwing a little ball at him, and he snaps up and yells, "Is it time yet? Is it time?" And the voice laughs at him, saying, "What's the hurry, Marty?" Back with the Crypt Keeper, he smashes a human skull with a guitar and asks if this one was a real smash. Also, he knows it was from his kielbasa. As for Marty, he was right about that noise in his head. Kielbasa. He probably wished he was deaf, but he got death instead. Except he also got deaf. Until next time, Fright fans, ears looking at you. And he laughs because that was a good one. And that's the end of the episode.
What the hell was the deal with the noise complaint?
I don't know, man. It's a concert. Like, you'd
this venue that they're at seems like some kind of music hall where there would routinely be loud musical performances.
I feel like it's a very sloppy excuse to have a police officer.
It's Marty Slash's, like, he's got an office there. It looks like he's been there for a while. And there's a stage. Clearly, there's performances going on all the time.
Donnie Osmond's been there.
Who are these neighbors living next door that are like, "What is that ruckus?"
Obviously, this is going to be a loud place. Like, Marty Slash is there. And Iggy Pop. And Donny Osmond.
The three amigos of music.
Yeah, that is a really stupid thing. I feel like Katie Seagal being in this episode was great, but it was kind of wasted. That could have been anybody.
Yeah, but this wasn't Katie Seagal at the height of her powers.
Yeah, that's true. She only went up from here. She was in Smart House, Brandon.
Yes, she would eventually reach the heights of Smart House. But that's still a few years off.
What year did Futurama come out? Was it 2000?
Yeah, it was around there. 99, I think.
Yeah. I love Katie Seagal. She could be a Katie Seagal podcast now, Brandon.
Yeah. I've never seen, what's that one with the motorcycles?
Oh, Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, she's in that.
I know, that's the only reason I would want to watch that is because Katie Seagal's in it.
Did you ever watch 8 Simple Rules?
No, I can't say that I have.
It's not great, but she's in it.
Yeah, it's weird. The only thing that I can think of is Smart House and Futurama that I've seen with Katie Seagal, and that's enough for me to know that she's the most wonderful person in the whole world.
Yes. She's the greatest human being that ever existed, and I don't think there's any kind of exaggeration or hyperbole.
No, absolutely not. That's it for crying out loud, though, Brandon. I mean, it was an episode. I do like the silliness of it, and I love the main character's like face work. He does a great job.
Yes, he's great at what he does.
I sure hope we get Katie Seagal in another episode, but I feel like that's a stretch. Probably not going to happen.
No,
she's a one and done kind of girl. Gosh, what do you think the moral of the story is, Brandon? It's a moral heavy episode again. Don't glue dog's eyelids closed is what I got.
Yeah, that's a pretty big one.
Yeah. It's probably like, you know, listen to your conscience or whatever, but I don't know. My conscience is Sam Kinison. It's
pretty much just like, don't be a shit. Because yeah, Marty Slash is a shit.
He is. Don't murder people. If you have to leave the country, go to Portugal, I guess.
Yeah, it's the place to go. Don't hire Iggy Pop.
Period. No.
I wonder, if there was like a list of people they were trying to get and they eventually like, all right, Iggy said he'd do it. Or if they were like, you know what? Iggy's our first choice. We're not doing this without the Iggster.
He does say fuck more than any other episode. Like, yeah, I'm not exaggerating. Like Goodfellas. It's literally other word. Really. I was like, damn, this is Joe Pesci? What's going on here? Joe Pesci, by the way, I'm sure will be in another episode later. Like, he can't not be, right?
I hope so.
Oh, better. I love Joe Pesci. Wait, do I? I mean, I like him in Home Alone.
He's a good actor.
He's a good actor. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Let me see. So, alternate episode titles, Brandon. I think For Crying Out Loud is a pretty good title, honestly. They've been nailing, like, the punny silliness of their titles. But I think a better one would be, like, Katie Seagal, the episode.
Donny Osmond's drum kit.
Plot device, Donny Osmond's drum kit.
Incompetent cop.
Oh, man, that cop was the worst. I can't wait to meet him.
Talking shit about me.
He'd be so pissed. The secret of the slash. No, that's stupid. I was just going for the secret of the ooze kind of thing. You know what, Brandon? I'm done here. You want to just meet this cast?
Yeah.
We've embarrassed ourselves enough.
Who are these people that we've been talking about already?
Yeah, we did name like all of them already. But first up, we're going to go with Marty Slash, played by Lee Arenberg. Unless it's Arenberg, and I'm just dumb. He's been in a lot of stuff. 117 credits on IMDb.
Yeah, what did you recognize him from?
I recognized him from Once Upon a Time, where he played Grumpy, one of the seven dwarves. Because this man is just kind of a grump, and I like it.
Yeah. Did you recognize him from Pirates of the Caribbean?
I didn't, but I did see that he had a credit for it. And I couldn't... Is he one of the, like, goon pirates?
I mean, it's like him and that other guy who's missing the eye, who are, like, mm-hmm. the dynamic duo.
Yep, I do remember it now. I didn't recognize him at the time because I haven't seen Pirates of the Caribbean in probably, like, 20 years. Yeah. So, it's been a while.
I recognize him most as the bookie from Seinfeld.
Yes, yep, he was in Seinfeld. I remember that, too. He started his career back in 1987 with Cross My Heart. I was kind of surprised by that. I thought he had started earlier. He was in The Wizard, Brandon. I don't remember seeing him when we covered that on Plot Points. He was in Roseanne for an episode. He was in one of the Halloween episodes, so that was probably a pretty good one. RoboCop 3. He was in Married with Children, so he did get to act with Katie Seagal again.
Oh, that's great. Remember when I murdered you?
I do remember that, yes. He was in two episodes of Seinfeld. I didn't realize that. Maybe it was a two-parter.
Yeah, he comes back.
He was in the Mr. Potato Head show, Brandon, back in 1998. I didn't know that was a thing.
Wait, and now made I do. Is it animated? Is it claymation?
I don't know. Now I have to look.
Yeah, what the hell is this thing?
I think it might be claymation.
That would make sense. Be like the chicken nuggets from the McDonald's.
Oh my god, the chicken nuggets. Or the California Raisins, Brandon.
Oh, this looks horrifying.
It sure does. I'm upset that I looked at it.
Wow, I'm closing this tab.
He was in Pirates of the Caribbean, like we talked about. The Adventures of Mickey Mattson and the Copperhead Treasure. I don't know why I said that one, but I did. Most recently, he was in Blood Fury from 2023.
He's working.
55 episodes of Once Upon a Time. Yeah, he does some stuff. Next. Let me get rid of that Mr. Potato Head show. Katie Seagal. I don't know who this is. Let's look at her.
She's probably terrible.
She's been in less things, so she's definitely less famous. She's only been in 87 things.
That is how that works, yeah. Yeah.
She started things off in 1971, The Failing of Raymond, where she played Girl Patient. Some, you know, lead character. She was in 13 episodes of a show called Mary. I don't know if that's Mary Tyler Moore or what, but she was there. She was in Married with Children, where she's probably best known as Peggy Bundy.
260 damn episodes.
I've barely seen any of that. She was in That 70s Show for 3 episodes as well. I didn't realize that. And then, of course,
she's Hyde's mom.
She moved on to Smart House because that's where it's at.
She moved on to Smart House.
She said, enough of this 70s.
She was like, that's it. Look at I'm upgrading to a Smart House.
I think, actually, she's probably best known for playing Taranga Leela in Futurama.
These days, probably.
She's been in... Where's the episode count for that? Do I have to keep scrolling?
125 episodes.
That doesn't even seem like a lot.
It's half of Married with Children. She was on 92 episodes of Sons of Anarchy. 76 episodes of 8 Simple Rules.
And 5 episodes of Spirit Riding Free. Good job, Katie Seagal. I love you. Oh, she was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, too. I didn't know that. I didn't get that
far. I don't remember that either.
Next, we have Iggy Pop. Who plays Iggy Pop?
He's been in Iggy Pop. He's from Ann Arbor.
Is he? That's cool. Let me scroll down here. So Iggy Pop started his career maybe as an actor in 1969 with his music video, Nico, Evening of Light. I can't say that I've ever actually listened to any of Iggy Pop's work.
No, I couldn't name a single song of his.
Not consciously at all. I don't know. I'm sure I've heard things because he's been in a lot of musical endeavor. He was in The Adventures of Pete and Pete for 5 episodes, Brandon.
Cool.
He was in the Rugrats movie, Brandon. He played Newborn Baby, which was a singing voice. He was in Grand Theft Auto 4. Might have been just... Oh, it sounds like he played like a DJ in Grand Theft Auto 4. I don't really know. Last year he was in Daniel's Gotta Die, I guess. I don't know. It feels bad, like, talking about Iggy Pop and acting career-wise, because he's mostly known for music, probably.
Yeah, it's not his main thing. And we don't know anything about his main thing, so we're selling the man short.
Yeah, sorry, Iggy Pop. He was in a movie called The Dead Don't Die, where he played a zombie. I've never seen this movie, but now it's on my list to watch.
That's pretty cool.
I do love my zombies. Next up, we got Sam Kinison. The late Sam Kinison passed away in 1992. Rest in peace, Sam Kinison.
Oh, he was in Married with Children as well.
You know, I gotta say, he wasn't in a lot of things. For being, in my eyes, like a household name, because I knew of Sam Kinison before getting into this episode, he's only been in 8 things. Started things off in 1985 as Savage Dawn, a barber in Savage Dawn. He's a stand-up comedian, though. Isn't that what he's best known for?
Yeah, that's his thing.
Okay. He's been in a couple of music videos, including Sam Kinison's Wild Thing. he's in a Bon Jovi Bad Medicine song, and then Motley Crue as well. Last thing he was in was Charlie Hoover from 1991, and then he passed away in 92. Next, and lastly, Brandon, let's talk about the police officer.
Oh, yeah, that guy. The guy who sucks at his job.
The police officer is played by Al White, and he's definitely somebody that I've seen before because he's in Seinfeld. But he started things off back in 1970 with They Call Me Mr. Tibbs. He was in a lot of things, though, Brandon. He was in Good Times, Starsky and Hutch. He was in Airplane. I've never seen Airplane, but I've seen clips from it. It looks really funny. As well as Airplane 2, the sequel.
Looks like he was in an episode of, like, every 80s show.
Yeah, that's what
MacGyver, T.J. Hooker, Dukes of Hazzard,
Matlock. All of them. He was in Back to the Future Part 2. He was in Leprechaun 2, Criminal Minds. The most recently, he was in Switched at Birth, where he was 8 episodes. He played Dr. Elroy Jackson. So he hasn't done anything in a little while, but he's definitely one of those people that you see him and you're like, I know who he is. It's Al White. That's the episode, Brandon. That is all the cast from the episode. That is For Crying Out Loud. I think we should take a look at what's next. What's to come?
All right.
Oh, boy. So, Brandon, the next episode is called Four-Sided Triangle.
Okay. That's a title, I guess.
Indeed. There's not very many characters in this episode. We do.
Sounds pretty lame.
Well, let me spoil some things here.
Based on a title that tells you nothing.
Well, let me say what this is about, because I think you're going to get very interested in this one. Four-Sided Triangle is about Farmer George, and he's attracted to Mary Jo, the nubile young woman who helps out with the chores. The problem is, Brandon, she's in love with a scarecrow.
No shit.
Yeah, Brandon, we're going to get a scarecrow.
Well, this sounds like the best episode.
You love scarecrows for some reason.
We're getting a scarecrow episode. That's so cool.
Yeah, and my favorite thing here, Brandon, is that the one that's in love with a scarecrow is played by Patricia Arquette.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I always knew she
liked scarecrows.
You always knew there's something about her that you liked, and it's actually your fancy of scarecrows.
She likes those straw boys.
Yeah, but that's next week, Brandon. We're gonna have our signature scarecrow episode. I can't imagine that they're going to do more than one scarecrow episode, because that's all anything can handle for anthologies.
Hey, if there can be 20 episodes about trifling bitches, there can be 4 or 5 about scarecrows.
Yeah, they do have every episode be gold diggers and zombies. So, yeah, you never know. Maybe this series is so beloved because every episode's about scarecrows.
That makes sense to me.
If you think about it, wouldn't Collection Completed be kind of a scarecrow story as well?
Kind of.
In a way.
I'll give it that.
You know what? If we just boil this down, Brandon, anything can be a scarecrow if they're scary to crows enough, yeah?
And crows are easy to scare, so most things are scarecrows.
There we go. Everything's a scarecrow story. Oh, man. But that's the next week, Brandon. We got Patricia Arquette. She is hot off of, well, not really. The only thing I can remember her from was Nightmare on Elm Street 3, and that was like 86 or something. So we got a couple of years, and then we got Patricia Arquette back. She's better than ever. Probably. I wouldn't know. But we'll find out next week, Brandon. I'm done for tonight.
We'll see, well, yeah.
Your night. I've been up all night, Brandon. I will let you go now so you can go to sleep.
Sounds good.
All right. I'm out of here. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
This chicken isn't extra crispy enough.